coming up on sports and stuff, I'll talk all about the World Series between the Houston Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies. I'll also talk about the start to the NHL and NBA seasons and preview Jeopardy's upcoming Tournament of Champions. All this and plenty more in the world of sports and entertainment coming up next on Sports and Stuff right here on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, www.eprn.us.
We want to welcome you to Sports and Stuff. Glad you could join us on the program this week. It's getting close to Halloween. It's only a couple days away. I'll talk a little bit about Halloween on the show this week. It'll be a spooky edition of the show. No, it's not gonna. I'm not really a spooky, scary kind of guy. Well, at least not on this show, but I want to welcome you all to the show this everybody. Hope all's well on your end. And for those that don't know me by now, I'll just reintroduce myself. I'm John Meisner, the host of this proud program, going on about 5 years now. Hard to believe it's been 5 years. Thank goodness. It's been too long already. So anyway, we're going to talk a lot about baseball and the World Series on the show this week. We'll start with baseball here, get into the Fall Classic in just a bit, but a lot led up to the World Series between the Astros and the Phillies. The Astros, I knew, were going to be the favorite in the American League. They took down the Yankees in the ALCS, which I was so happy about. I was so glad to see the Yankees get swept. And then before that, the Astros actually beat the Seattle Mariners. They actually swept them. They beat them in three close games. But the third game of that series was probably the most memorable so far this postseason because it went 18 innings. A long 18-inning extra inning game. It was scoreless going into the 18th inning. Both teams pitched about as well as they could possibly pitch. And there weren't really any threats at all of offense for pretty much the entire game. Until the Astros hit a home run in the 18th inning, which just kind of came out of nowhere, and they ended up sweeping the Mariners. It was nice to see Seattle get into the playoffs and have a home playoff game for the first time in 21 years, but it was kind of unfortunate the fans didn't see their team score a run, but I think they'll definitely be back in it next year for sure. I have to say, though, when they got to the ALCS, the Astros were just dominated. The Yankees were completely overmatched. They relied too much on Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. And other than those two guys, they just didn't have much offense. It works in the regular season, but you can't rely on just one or two guys to carry you throughout the postseason. You have to have an entire team contributing. You have to have more guys contribute and get better pitching, and they just didn't have enough of that. I wasn't surprised they got swept. I knew they weren't going to win the series. I just didn't think it was going to end so quickly like it did. But still, the biggest question for the Yankees in the offseason, will Aaron Judge come back? Will he re-sign? Will he go somewhere else? He's going to test the free agent market for sure, but he is definitely going to get his payday. With 62 home runs, a new American League record, which stood for 61 years, the old record, that Roger Maris had. He proved he's worth his money, for sure. He's definitely going to get an 8, 9, 10-year deal at least somewhere. He's earned it, for sure. So the Yankees have that big of a concern in the offseason once the playoffs are over. But still, in the National League, I want to talk about this for a minute here, about the Phillies. They definitely benefited from the playoff structure the way it is now for this season with the wild card format with three wild cards and a wild card best of three series instead of the one game wild card series, which fans were used to for several years. That definitely gave teams that were playing in the wild card series an advantage because they were still playing. The way it was set up this season was the teams with the top two records, or the top two seeds, which in this case in the National League were the Dodgers and the Braves, which a lot of people predicted were going to meet in the NLCS, they were at a disadvantage because they weren't in a rhythm playing. They had about 4 or 5 days off to wait until the wild card rounds were over before they played, and by the time they did play, they were rusty, and it showed. I mean, they each particular team lost in 4 games to their respective opponent. The Dodgers, I was so shocked they lost to the Padres. I mean, the Padres had no business beating LA. After about 22 or 23 games behind them in the standings in their division, and they upset the Dodgers. Wow, nobody saw that coming. Really, I mean, the Phillies, like, you know, are decent or good enough team to get in. Like, you know, I mean, it didn't surprise me they went on a run as long as they did. They've had a great season, a magical season after bringing in a new manager mid-season. But still, I mean, whoever would have thought the Dodgers would have lost to the Padres? I was shocked about as much as anybody. 111 wins in the regular season. Yankees had 99. Braves had, they might have had about 100 or so wins. I mean, they lost in the division series. Mets lost in the wild card round to the Padres. So a lot of upsets this year. Definitely I mean, if you would have told me it would have been Astros-Phillies, I would not have agreed with you. I would have said probably Astros-Dodgers, but no, it's that's what's so great about the postseason. You know, everything's so unpredictable. I mean, anything could happen. But like I was saying, the Phillies definitely benefited from playing in the wild card round, as did the Padres. And I think that's why they took down their respective opponents. But still, I don't know what baseball can do for next season if they wanted to have the top seeds have more of an advantage. Maybe just start the playoff, the playoffs or the wild card round like the day after the regular season ends. Maybe not. You know, what would they do? I think like 2 days later. They wanted to give the teams a day off, but I mean, I say give just. I mean, if they don't want the top seeds to get, you know, to lose again like this year, put the wild card teams at a disadvantage. Just start them immediately after the regular season ends. If that's what baseball wants. I mean, I know they want more playoff teams with the third wild card, but you know, I mean, this is one of the side effects, is that the teams with the best records have too much rest and therefore are not ready for the division series, like it was with the Dodgers and Braves. And I mean, heck, even the Yankees too. I mean, they just barely got by the Cleveland Guardians in the division series. I mean, they just barely squeaked by a pretty good, scrappy Cleveland team who gave the Yankees everything they could handle, but were unable to. It's too bad. They couldn't quite get past the Yankees. They were up 2-1, couldn't finish it out, and I'm thinking to myself, and I was talking to somebody who was a Yankees fan about this too not too long ago. They said, like, you know, pick your poison. Do you beat a good Cleveland Guardians team and only to have to face the Astros in the next round, or do you just lose so you don't have to face the Astros? It's like, which would you, I mean, either way, your season's going to end at some point, either to the Guardians or to the Astros, because they know they're not the best team. So, yeah, but so it's tough. I mean, I think baseball definitely needs to consider maybe tinkering with the playoff format for next year. Maybe just not give the wild card teams that that day off after the regular season ends. That way the top two seeds don't have as much downtime as was the case this year. So, I mean, I guess that's probably the only thing they could do. I don't think they're going to go back to the one game wild card game, because I mean, the fans loved it, but I could see why the players wouldn't want it anymore. Because to have your season come down to one game and lose would be, you know, it's heartbreaking. So I like the best 2 out of 3. I just think maybe just not give those wild card teams a day off. Make them, you know, work for it. You know, I mean, like I said, it would put them at a disadvantage, but at least it would help the higher seeds, I think. You know, because people don't like to see a 111-win team lose and be out in the first round. That's not good for that the team. It's not good for baseball. They want to see the bigger teams play. I kind of have mixed feelings about the idea versus of big market teams and small market teams surprising everybody. You know, they're nice once in a while, like, you know, like the Phillies this year. You know, the Phillies definitely would probably make a better story if they won the World Series. But, I mean, in general, I do like to see the better teams actually win. But an occasional upset is, you know, is compelling, I guess. But I often go back and forth on it. As far as my predictions go for the World Series, I do think the Astros are the better team, but I mean, it would be a better story if the Phillies won, just because they had to endure more, not controversy, but adversity and struggle this season. They had to fight their way to get in. They just barely got in as the sixth seed, as the third wild card, so they've had to, you know, overcome more, and they've definitely taken a more difficult path to get to where they are. I mean, and ultimately, I think the Phillies are—they're just inferior because, I mean, they have a good offense. You know, hey, Bryce Harper hit a huge home run against the Padres to clinch the pennant, which was great for the Phillies. But their pitching's not as good as Houston. Houston has more depth; they get more contributions from other guys. They have a great bullpen. Phillies have a not too bad of a bullpen, but I definitely think the talent level is better on Houston. I mean, I know most of America doesn't want the Astros to win after that sign-stealing scandal. They're probably never going to forgive them for that, but they are the better team, the Astros are, and it'd be great for that team to win for Dusty Baker. You know, for him to have as long of a managerial career as he's had and not have a World Series just doesn't make any sense. I think this is the year Dusty gets it. I think they're going to get him a World Series, and who knows, man? I don't know how long he's going to continue managing. He might retire. He might just go out on top. But he had over 2,000 wins, baseball lifer, as they call it. He's done it his whole life and will continue doing it till probably the day he dies, maybe. We'll see. But yeah, nobody more deserving of a World Series than Dusty Baker. After what he's had to go through with that team to, you know, get him to move on from the sign-stealing scandal, brought some peace and calmness to that team. You know, he definitely deserves a championship for his sake. But then again, so do the Phillies. You know, they haven't won since 08. They had to overcome some adversity, so, I mean, it's a good storylines, I guess, but I think the Astros are definitely the better team. The Astros are the better team, but I think it'd be a little better if the Phillies won, just for their sake. So I'm kind of torn, but you know, not really being a fan of either team. But I'll say Astros in six. I say Astros take it to six games and win it for Dusty. So that's what I think. So those are my thoughts. And one other thing, too, I have to mention about the World Series coverage for Fox. I have to say, I like their current head play-by-play announcer, Joe Davis, so much better than Joe Buck. Joe Buck was so bland and just kind of ruined everything and didn't show a lot of enthusiasm and is so awkward. I'm glad he moved on and is now on the Monday Night Football on ESPN, so he'll no longer be doing baseball games anymore, I don't think, in the foreseeable future. It's just the football games on Monday nights. But yeah, Joe Davis is much, much better. He has more energy. He has more life in his voice. He has more fun with it. He sounds a little, maybe a tad bit cheesy at times, but very, you know, I don't want to say fake, but he sounds a little more announcer like, and he talks like this, you know. But he has a lot more of a dynamic voice, and I could see why they've made him head play by play announcer on the big games. He's already calling Dodgers games during the season for the Dodgers, and doing a pretty good job as far as I know. But yeah, he seems like a cool guy, very smooth. Very, very, very good. Yeah, I like him. A lot better than Joe Buck. Yeah. You know, at least Joe Davis gets excited. Buck never, hardly ever did, because of how awkward he was. But I like him, and John Smoltz has some good commentary as well. He definitely knows what he's talking about. So those are my thoughts, and with that, we'll take a break here on sports and stuff. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the beginning of the NHL and NBA season, and some TV talk as well to follow. More sports and stuff after the break.
MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTwatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTwatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
We are back here on Sports and Stuff as we count down the days to Halloween on the show this week. Just a couple more days to go. For Halloween this year, I'm going to be filming a local rag shag parade here in my hometown of Greenfield, Massachusetts, for a local TV station. We're going to be filming well, not so much the parade itself, but we're going to film a little competition they have in a local park where the kids will have their best costumes and hopefully take home some prizes, which will be kind of fun for them. So that'll be on Halloween night here in town. But anyway, that's just a local thing I'm doing. It's probably the only thing I'm going to do on Halloween, because I don't think I'm going to be going to any parties or getting drunk or anything like that, because that's just not me. Yeah, I believe on Halloween night they're going to have Game 3 of the World Series, if I'm not mistaken. It's actually interesting night to have a big World Series game. It's Halloween, but that's what's going to be the case. Yeah, I don't know which is more scarier, Halloween or Phillies fans. Is that how crazy they can get over there? But yeah, I think that's one other reason why I might be rooting for the Phillies, because I do know someone who is a Phillies fan. She's actually been a guest on this show before, for those that are our regular listeners. Ellen Adair, who was on a couple years ago, she's a huge Phillies fan, a wonderful person, a very good actress too. So she's a Yeah, she's really pulling hard for the Phillies. I bet she's so surprised. I'll have to ask her how she feels about the Phillies getting this far. She probably can't believe it. So, anyway, we'll move on here and talk some NHL and NBA to start the year. The Bruins are off to an incredible start. They've won 8 out of their first 9 games. The only loss they've had this season, and just to show you how ugly of a loss it was and how rare of a loss it was, the reason they lost the game is because the game didn't start on time. It was in Ottawa, and I don't know what the Senators were doing. It was either some long pregame ceremony or like something they were doing. I don't know exactly what it was, if they always start that late, but for some reason they started later than they usually do, and the Bruins got really thrown off by that, and got off to a very bad start in that game. They gave up like 3 goals in the first period, and were chasing the score all night. They ended up giving up 7 goals, which was not like them at all. and Jeremy Swayman had a bad night in goal, but other than that, they have been clicking on all cylinders. Jim Montgomery, their new coach, has definitely brought a different style of coaching to the Bruins organization. He's more offensive minded, I can tell. They've been talking about this in some of the games. He likes to have the defenseman jump up into plays instead of just sitting back at the blue line or deep in the crease on defense. He has them jumping into the play more and being aggressive. It's great when it works, because increases your likelihood of scoring a goal, but at the same time it can burn you if you give up an odd man rush the other way. So it has its strengths and weaknesses. So far it's been great though. Bruins have won 8 out of 9. We'll see how long it lasts, how much longer they can not only win, but it's going to be interesting how long that style of play can last throughout a whole season. For now, it's enjoyable in the regular season, but I do kind of wonder come playoff time if that would work, against teams with good defenses and good goaltending. But we'll get to that when we when we do. But I was surprised to see Brad Marchand come back so quickly for Boston after recovering from double hip surgery. I thought he'd be out at least another month or so, maybe, and wouldn't come back till like after Thanksgiving or maybe like beginning of December. But no, his timetable apparently in secret was late October, and he's already come back and scored a goal. So yeah, I didn't see that coming. I thought he would still be out of the lineup, but no, he's back. Marshy's back. So good to see Marchand on the score sheet and helping contribute again. Yeah, so it wasn't that bad. Only out about 7 games. So yeah, it definitely could have been a lot longer. I think everybody was anticipating it being a lot longer, but good to see him back. Charlie McAvoy's still out. He definitely won't be back till later. I mean, he's not going to surprise everybody by coming back like tomorrow or something. But they're off to a great start. And Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman have been playing pretty well for the most part. The Ullmark's definitely asserted himself as the number one goaltender for now. But they still have two, you know, Jeremy Swayman, and he's, other than that one bad game in Ottawa, he's been good as well. So they've got two good goaltenders, and they've been scoring a lot of goals. So it's been very enjoyable for the Black and Gold. Not too many trades to talk about this early in the season, but the Vancouver Canucks have made one with the Bruins. They traded Jack Stadnicka to the Bruins, so the Bruins are getting another offensive player in exchange for I think it's like an AHL player or a draft pick or something, but he's coming to Boston pretty soon, and will only help the team more. I mean, they already got Marchand back, you know, healthier, and now they're gonna add somebody, so they're only getting more offensive minded, it seems. Yeah, you know, I was thinking this earlier, you know, with Jim Montgomery being a new coach and kind of implementing a new system with more of an offensive approach. He's the first outsider of the Bruins have brought in, really going back to, if you want to go all the way back to Dave Lewis, because that was, you know, before Claude Julien and Bruce Cassidy, before the years they had coaching. I mean, Dave Lewis was an outsider, and it didn't work out for him. They just weren't good defensively and didn't make the playoffs the 1 year he was here. I mean, the Bruins in general just were bad coming out of the lockout all those years ago. So Dave Lewis was only part of the blame. But then Claude Julien came in and implemented a defensive structure, cleaned all the mess up that Dave Lewis left behind. And Bruce Cassidy continued that legacy and improved the offense even more and while keeping the defensive system Julien put in place. So it's really the first time in many years they've actually had an outsider from out of the organization come in and kind of shake things up a bit. But so far it's been working. I'm not going to argue with success. You know, 8 out of 9 wins. So that's great for the Bruins. Off to a fabulous start this year out of the gate. So anyway, they've got some road games coming up in the next week or so. And meanwhile, in the NBA, just starting out, you know, not too many games to talk about right now. But I will say though that you know, after the Celtics won their first 3 games, they had a couple of tough losses. The game against the Chicago Bulls caught my eye because they got off to an incredible start shooting the ball, and it's like it was almost too good to be true, because after that they started slacking off, they weren't playing defense, they sat back, and Chicago just really took it to them and just dominated the rest of the game after a good start from the Celtics. But yeah, hopefully that won't continue like that. It doesn't appear like it will. And then, but I will say one team to look out for in the Eastern Conference this year that is going to surprise people are the Cleveland Cavaliers, because of one player, 2 words: Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is for real. He is a beast. He's averaging like 30 points a game. Dominated the Celtics the other night. He's off to an incredible start. That team makes things very difficult for a lot of other teams. because of him and just the way they play with how good defensively they are. I don't know if I go as far as to say a title contender, but they're definitely going to be a playoff team, and a very good playoff team possibly. So, yeah, that's one team to look out for. Milwaukee's gotten off to a... Actually, I don't know how good of a start Milwaukee's gotten off to. I think they're off to an okay start. The Sixers had a tough opening night loss against the Celtics. They're not off to the greatest start themselves. And Miami's a little slow out of the gate. So, really, other than Cleveland and, you know, I guess Golden State, you know, in the West... it's a little too early to tell how well everybody's doing, so hold off on any, you know, additional stuff for basketball for now. Just only about 5 or 6 games in for everybody. But I will say this for the Celtics, though. There, one thing that caught my attention with Joe Mazzulla is, you know, not just that he's had to fill in for Ime Udoka for this season, but, you know, he really has to... keep things calm and steady, and it sounds like he's doing that a good job of that already. He's keeping things the way they are right now, that Ime Udoka put in. He's just kind of picking up where Udoka left off, but it sounds like throughout the season he's going to start implementing his own things and kind of his own style. So it's the right thing to do. I don't think it would have been a good idea to completely change the way they play, you know, so quickly, because that the players wouldn't have adjusted very well to that, and it would have been hard for them. So he's going slow. It's a slow transition, but it seems like it'll be effective, which is good to see. But it's nice to see Tatum and Brown getting off to good starts. They're picking up right where they left off last year, those two. It's great to see. I would like to see Tatum score more in the fourth quarter, though. He hasn't always been doing that. Which he needs to start doing. He's our best player. Got to play well when it matters most. Yeah, it's like he scores 30 in the first three quarters and then like barely has any in the fourth quarter. Like, come on. Gotta do better than that. He knows he needs to be better in the fourth quarter. But anyway, yeah, other than that, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how good Robert Williams is when he is fully healthy and back. It won't be for a little while. Him and Gallinari as well. But yeah, Marcus Brogdon looks like a good player off the bench. It'd be nice to have a full season with Derek White, who is an excellent sixth man for the Celtics. And so that'll be good to see him for a full season. Yeah, he's good. He's a good shooter, good defensive player, good playmaker. Definitely the right kind of player you want on the championship team. You're Derek White. So, anyway, that's just kind of... I would have more to say about basketball, but it's just a little too early right now to start commenting on things. And they're not even done through October yet. So with that, we'll take a break here. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about some TV talk here. I'm going to preview the Jeopardy's upcoming Tournament of Champions, which starts on Monday. More sports and stuff continues after these words.
It's a great feeling seeing your Chime app notification on your mobile device. When you receive direct deposits in your Chime account, you're in total control of your finances. It's banking without the fees. Sign up with my referral link and you and I receive $50.
What?
That's right. You and I receive a referral bonus of $50 after sign up and direct deposit activation. Use referral link chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. That's chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. It's that simple and it's free. It only takes about 2 to 3 minutes to complete, and you'll be on your way to being in total control of your finances. You'll start building a positive reflection of your credit history, and that will really make a difference. Referring friends and family to the Chime family is one of the most financially rewarding experiences anyone could have. Sign up today. Chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. Garland McLaughlin.
We are back here on Sports and Stuff. John Meisner here with you. You're listening to Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Feel free to download our EPRN app anytime you'd like to listen to this podcast or any other podcasts on our network. The EPRN app is there to download at your disposal. Got a lot of good podcasts on our network, so check it out. EPRN is where it's at. So, before I get into my next topic here, I just wanted to mention that, there's unfortunately in recent weeks, there's been a few celebrity deaths. When I always mention those on the air here, Jerry Lee Lewis passed away, the day I'm recording this. What a loss, for people who love oldies music from the 50s. He'll always be remembered for a whole lot of shaking going on and Great Balls of Fire. He could really play the piano, boy. He was insanely talented. I was reading something earlier today about him. Apparently he was like the first bad boy of music. He was like every parent's worst nightmare for who had teenagers who listened to his music, just because of how wild he played the piano and he had long hair. Been kind of crazy when he sang, but he was incredible. He was great. Some great songs. He passes away, and I think he was in his 80s, so he was very old, but definitely one of the greats. And then unfortunately Angela Lansbury, who everybody remembers from Murder, She Wrote and the voice of Mrs. Potts and one of my favorite Disney movies, Beauty and the Beast, passed away recently as well. She was wonderful. She was a great actress, had a great voice. I didn't watch her too much on Murder, She Wrote, but I definitely remember her on in Beauty and the Beast. She was just a delightful actress. It's too bad. Had a great career. So just thought I'd mention those couple names there. But anyway. I wanted to get into Jeopardy's Tournament of Champions here. Now, I'm really, really looking forward to this tournament, folks, and here's why. There are so many super champions, great super champs from last year that are going to participate. I mean, Amy Schneider, Matt Amodio, Mateo Roach, each of those three are getting first-round buys into the second round this year. They had so many great winners last year, they had to change the tournament structure to include more people. They're going to be in it. They won't play till the second round, but a lot of which should be some really good first round quarterfinal matchups. It's exciting because, not just because of the three super champs I just mentioned there, but I mean, they had, a few people went over 10 games last year, but quite a few of them actually, including those three I mentioned and Ryan Long, Jonathan Fisher as well. there wasn't a lot of turnover at the champions podium last year just because there were so many long streaks, but just to see all these great ones come back like they are, it just feels like one of the more hyped regular season tournaments they've ever had just because of all the super champs. I will say this, I really honestly hope that Matt, Amy, and Matea make it to the finals. Any other matchup is not going to be as good. It'll be, I'll watch it, but it won't be as exciting. And the reason I say that is not just because they're the three best ones, but they changed the tournament structure for this year. There's no longer going to be any wild cards, so that puts more pressure on the quarterfinalists to have to win their games to move on. When they get to the finals, this is where it gets really interesting. It's going to be exciting. Instead of a two-day final or two-day total point affair, as they call it, where they add the scores from both games together to determine the winner, it's going to be first player to win three games, which is exactly what they did in the GOAT format from a couple years ago that people remember when they had Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter and James Holzhauer competing in primetime. And Ken Jennings won that, of course. But they're going to do the same thing for the tournament champions this year, which I like. I think that's a good change. I think it'll make it a lot more exciting and more dramatic to see it play out over several days. Could go as far as 7 days until a player wins 3 games. So that'll be a really great, really exciting television to watch. I'm looking forward to it a lot. And so it should be really good. Boy, just the thought of seeing Matt, Amy, and Matea for as many as 7 days straight. It's going to be good. It should be really, really fun. So I'm looking forward to that personally. As far as, you know, Jeopardy is concerned, right before the tournament of champions, they had the Second Chance Tournament, which is the first time they've ever done that. They've never had a second chance week with past contestants who lost, but I liked it. It was a good change. Certainly not something Jeopardy's ever done before until now, but I like that they did. You know, it's nice to see players who, you know, came so close to winning or played so well the first time get a second chance at redemption. They're automatically in the tournament champions this year, so that'll be Jessica Stevens and Rowan Ward, I believe is her name. But, there were a couple of players in those 2 weeks that I was thinking to myself, you know, these were, I mean, I wouldn't have thought they would have lost some of these people because they played so well, you know, the first time they were on, and then the next time they came back, you know, were still good or maybe not as good, depending on who it is, But I'm thinking to myself, like, these people could have easily won, like, 5 games in a row had they not run into, you know, these super champs. Because a lot of them lost to the, you know, to Matt and Amy and Matea and Ryan Long. So, you know, they could have been super champs themselves, you know, we'll never know. But still, I like that they did that. I think it'll be a good thing that they keep it every year, the second chance weeks. But still, it's an exciting time to be a Jeopardy fan. You got the tournament champions coming up, and then after the tournament it's over, they're gonna pick up where they left off with regular games with their returning champion Chris Panullo, who is looking like the next James Holzhauer. Boy, that guy is incredible to watch. He was so special. He makes big wagers on daily doubles. He's always looking for the daily doubles. Always finds them. Such a special player to watch. So smart, so dominant. He's just he's only looked vulnerable maybe like once, I think, or once or twice, but other than that, he's run away almost every game. Nobody can catch him. Yeah, I'd say he'll get to like at least $500,000, maybe more. Yeah, maybe like 20 games or something. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how far he goes when he comes back. And all this rest he's getting from the tournament until he starts again, that's going to help him. So he's going to come back fresh. Yeah. Fresh as a daisy. So that'll be good for him. One other thing I wanted to mention about Jeopardy here before I, you know, go on all day and all night about it is... one thing they're doing, for those that are, you know, regular viewers, on November 8th, next week, on a programming note, it's going to be election night, you know, for most states and most cities around the country, but I want to mention that on that day, November 8th, is actually going to be the 2-year anniversary of Alex Trebek's death, on a, you know, sad note, but I mention this because... that night, there's a good chance Jeopardy may not air in your area. Same with that, and, you know, Wheel of Fortune and whatever syndicated programming is on. So Jeopardy is actually going to do something a little special. They're going to have the very first annual, what they're calling the Great Exhibition Match. And this is not going to affect the Tournament of Champions in any way. It's just going to be a game they do for fun between... Amy Schneider, Matt Amodio, and Matea Roach. It's going to be an exhibition game. Not going to, like I said, not going to count for anything. It's just going to be for fun. But it's going to be... It's interesting they're doing this because, you know, they wanted to see how they would do against each other if they don't meet in the finals. because I think a lot of fans are probably wondering how they would do against each other. It's going to be an exhibition match. First time Jeopardy's ever done something like this. They never had an exhibition match like this before between champions. So they're going to do that November 8th on the two-year anniversary of Alex Trebek's passing. And if it does not air on your local station, they're going to try their best to get it on the YouTube channel. So just in case people are tuning in and on that day on the 8th and wondering why Jeopardy's not on, you don't get all the election coverage on your station, go to YouTube. I would think they would have the show up there. Hopefully, they're going to try their best. Yeah, they picked an interesting day to do that, on a day where they may or may not even it may not even air on your station. So that's probably why they're trying to get it on YouTube, just in case it doesn't air in people's areas. But that's going to be fun, you know, seeing a game where Matt, Amy, Mateo will be competing against each other. And you know what? They might even compete again in the finals if they all get there. So it could be a preview of what's to come, possibly. So definitely want to tune in on that day, November 8th. Check your local listings. It's going to be a big day, a special day for Jeopardy for sure. So just thought I'd mention that. And I always look forward to the tournament champions every year on that show. Just I love seeing the best of the best. You know, that's what I like about the playoffs, you know, for baseball this time of year and in other sports, seeing the best of the best go at it. It's so great. It's always so exciting. You know, there's always upsets, and sometimes the favorites win, sometimes they don't. You know, that's what's so great about sports and competitive things like this. It's always so unpredictable. So you can never expect anything. We'll take a break here on sports and stuff, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up and tell you what to look forward to next time you join us on the program. Stay with us.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
We're back one more time here on Sports and Stuff, and don't have too much more to say this week other than that NHL and NBA playoff action is heating up. And one other thing I want to mention too before we go about the Patriots is that, you know, for about a week or so, there had been a little bit of controversy with the quarterback position between Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe. And you know, I say this because, you know, Jones has been recovering from an ankle injury. And when he did finally come back against the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football, you know, he wasn't playing well. And it was kind of funny because, you know, they went right back to Bailey Zappe, who had won the previous 2 weeks. And at first he was, you know, he definitely gave the offense a bolt. You know, it's like the crowd was rocking. But then as soon as they scored two touchdowns, Chicago dominates the rest of the game. The Patriots cannot afford to keep turning over the ball at least once or twice a game. They've been doing that every week. They're one of the league leaders in turnovers. They can't be doing that. It's going to be awfully difficult for them to win games. They have to take better care of the football if they want to stay competitive in their division. Because I'll tell you right now, the Patriots' next opponent is the Jets. And the Jets are actually pretty good so far this year. They're 5-2, which nobody expected. I'm not even sure the Jets expected that. So they're going to have to play good team football if they're going to beat the Jets on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Eagles, I believe, are still undefeated. So yeah, Philly's got a lot to cheer about right now. The Eagles are undefeated. The Phillies are in the World Series. Sixers are, well, just starting their season, but yeah, I don't know how good the Flyers are to start the year. We'll see as time goes on here, but anyway, it's Philly's got a lot to cheer for out there, relating to football, as a lot of people probably heard by now in the news, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are going to get a divorce, which I feel bad for Brady. You know, I think the fact that he decided to come out of retirement and play probably one more year of football really bothered Gisele. I mean, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, he's older. He doesn't have too much left in the tank. You know, he's getting close to 45. Or I think he might be 45 actually now. But anyway, he's a, you know, she really expected him to just hang it up and call it a career and spend more time together with their kids. And, you know, the fact that he went back for another year says that, you know, in his eyes, he wants to win another Super Bowl. But to her, she just thinks he's got a big ego and only cares about himself. So it's a tough situation. And you know, it's affecting Brady on the field, too. You know, it's hard enough as it is that he has to deal with that in his personal life, but when it starts spilling over onto the field, it's not good. So I just hope for Brady's sake he's okay and, you know, can overcome this, you know, adversity in his life with Gisele. You know, hopefully they're on good terms when they, you know, do file for divorce. So it's just been a tough week or so for Brady. I feel bad for him. I really do. You know, just not just as a football fan, but as a person. Just say prayers for him and hope he'll you know, be okay. But still, you know, I mean, be interesting after this season I don't think they're gonna get back together, but like I would think that they would, you know, at least hopefully stay on good terms. You know, only they know, of course, but still, you know, I feel bad for Brady. I mean, he's a, you know, great quarterback, a great guy, I would think. It's just his ego got in the way, and Gisele didn't like that. She wants him to spend more time with her, and so it makes sense why someone would feel that way, would feel ignored, or kind of thrown to the curb, but it's a shame. You know, it really is for Brady. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that to end the show. So the next time we get together, you and I'm going to be talking about the entire World Series from start to finish. As of right now, it's one game each, Phillies and Astros through two games, so not a whole lot to talk about with that. But I'll definitely have more to say on that the next time we get together. I'm pretty sure the Astros are probably going to win. I'll say Astros in six, but so that's my prediction anyway. But if the Phillies win, it'll be their first championship since 08. It'll be the second straight year that a team from the NL East wins the World Series. So that division will have a lot to cheer about. But until then, everybody have a great Halloween. Stay safe. Hope everyone's enjoys it. It's a fun holiday. I'm looking forward to it as well. And I'll mention before we go here, if you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, you can subscribe to the Sports and Stuff app on Google and Apple Play and wherever podcasts are available. You can also download the EPRN app, like I mentioned earlier. That's Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. If you want to listen to this podcast or any of our other many podcasts on the station, download the app today. And if you want more content, exclusive content, like I said, the Sports and Stuff app is out there. We've got a lot of extra content, some extra stuff, only exclusive content, which you can only get if you download the app. We've got a lot of good stuff out there for you. Some extra interviews, extra stuff I've added. So if you want the bonus material, bonus content on this show, just download the Sports and Stuff app today. And anyone out there wants to contact me or email me if you have a question or comment you'd like to add to this podcast, the best way to reach me is through email. It's John Meisner, Meisner, 1991, @gmail.com. Again, that's John Meisner, 1991, @gmail.com. Feel free to drop me a line. I'd be glad to mention you on the air. So that's going to do it for our show this week. I thank you very much for listening, everyone. For all the hardworking men and women behind the scenes here at EPRN, this is John Meisner signing off of Sports and Stuff. You've been listening to EPRN and wherever other podcasts are available. Have a happy Halloween, everyone. Take care. So long.